We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, here's your host, Malcolm Butler.
Hey, hey, winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. 42-32, the Bulldogs beat Charlotte. The sun rises again as we knew that it would. This is Teddy Allen pinch hitting for Malcolm Butler, who's over at the TAC. They just started their pregame show. The Duncan Dogs tonight are playing Jarvis Christian at 6:30. You can listen to that on 107.5. Thank you for being with us and the architect of the W over Charlotte, Skip Holtz. Welcome to your show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's good to be here. And I was beginning to wonder if that sun was going to come up anymore. You know, it was becoming pretty frustrating with not just for us, but I know for everybody that's a Bulldog fan watching them and being as close as we've been and not being able to close the door, but really proud as we talked about last week when so many people were asking the question, what does this team have to play for? You know, when you talk about the seniors, and I know we'll get into them and the way that they competed for each other, and we always talk about how important the brotherhood is and the family and the commitment to the program and having the opportunity to represent this great university and the responsibility that goes along with that. And I was really proud of the way that they competed, because I did. I thought they got it on the field. They competed. I thought they played hard and really played pretty smart. Mm-hmm. When you look at the formula that we always talk about and what it takes to win, when you talk about being good on third down and being good in the red zone, and we made a lot of strides and got better in some areas. So it certainly wasn't perfect. There's definitely some areas for improvement with two games remaining, but the way we broke it down was it's a three-game season, and we need to find a way to go 3-0 and send these seniors out the right way, and that's what we're working hard to make sure that we can accomplish.
Well, maybe we can scored 42 points. Maybe we can just talk offense for a second, because Aaron Allen played so well. The offensive line kept him clean all night. Smoke had a big night. Isaiah with some big catches. And Marcus tore it up.
Yeah, a lot of accolades to go around for on the offense for sure. You talk about a 42-point night, over 500 yards. We rushed for 180. Aaron was 21 of 27 for 324 yards on the night. We were 7 out of 10 on third down, which is 70%, which is huge. We were 1 for 1 on fourth down. We were 5 out of 6 in the red zone. We scored touchdowns 5 out of the 6 times we were down there. The one time we didn't score a touchdown was the 2-minute drive when we had to line up on the 18-yard line and kick a field goal with no time left, and we unfortunately end up missing it. But started the game, Khalil Ladler makes a great interception on the 1-yard line, and offensively they have a 17-play, 99-yard drive on the very first drive of the game to go down and put points on the board, which was a beautiful drive. Yep. There weren't a lot of big plays. It was grinded out, first down, second down, third down, a couple big plays, but I thought they did a really nice job. It was a night that the offense had 8 explosive plays of 20 yards or more that went for over 222 yards and 3 touchdowns, which was 21 points on big plays, and had 4 drives that went over 70 yards. So there was an awful lot to build on offensively as a unit. Now, when I look at it as a group, I thought the 5 offensive linemen played their best game as a team, I mean, as a unit. I think moving Chris Fournier over to left has really been a good thing. Dakota White, Byron Rossell missed some time last week, and Dakota White has really stepped in, and I think over the last 10 days is like a flower that's just bloomed over the last 10 days, really doing some great things at that right tackle spot. And then the consistency of Abe, Josh, and Kelton, and I don't think everybody realized, I think this might have been not only did they play so well, but it might have been the most complicated scheme that they saw all night. I thought Charlotte gave us some really technical things, and I thought they did a great job picking it up, and I think it's a real testament to Googe and the job that he's done with those guys up front. Can't say enough about Marcus Williams, a 4-touchdown day, rushed for 131 yards. How great was that to see? You know, we actually said we're going to be really patient with the run game and keep giving it to them. Made a big emphasis of it. Tried to take a little of the pressure off Aaron Allen, being back there at quarterback and not making it a drop back game. But I thought Marcus Williams and Keon Henry Brooks, I thought, ran really hard. Receivers continue to shine. Trey Harris had 5 for 91. Smoke Harris had 8 for 100. Isaiah had 3 for 60. Jared Means had 2 for 38. There was enough to go around to everybody, but I thought those guys played really well for us. But that brings us all the way down to Aaron Allen, who I think I couldn't be happier for him. I know he's waited his turn the last couple weeks. I'm sure has been very hard on him. Everybody wants to play. And I know when last week when J.D. Head got his opportunity, Aaron would have loved that opportunity to get in play. But he was very patient. He was a great teammate. He worked extremely hard, and he got his opportunity this week, and he certainly made the most of it. You know, we always talk about the backups have to be patient and be ready when their opportunity comes. A lot of them moan, groan, and complain because they're a 2, and then when they get the opportunity, they don't do anything with it. So couldn't be more proud of Aaron Allen and the job that he did and the patience that he had and the way that he's waited his turn. And then he stepped in there, and I thought he played a great football game. So a lot of positive things offensively to talk about for sure as a unit and a bunch of guys individually, but really proud what they were able to accomplish.
Okay, Doug, we're going to build, ask some of these questions that have some things to do with what you just got through saying. First, okay. I'll remind everybody, Smoke was targeted 8 times, had 8 catches. Trey 5 times, had 5 catches. Graham 3 times, had 3 catches. That's just how accurate Aaron was the other night.
Yep.
The son of Cynthia and Kenneth, it was good to see him play with so much poise and great to see that he could have the time to stand up the guy's block and just did such a good job.
They did a great job.
Jill and Rustin said, did you have a good view of Ladler's interception? This, of course, the opening drive. Charlotte goes down to about the 5, and Ladler gets up. Major pickoff.
Oh, major pickoff. The thing was, during the week, we go good versus good on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and we ran the exact play on Tuesday, which was actually a little screen and go, and hit it for a touchdown. And we talked about what we got to do, and unfortunately, we made the same mistake underneath at linebacker, and we jumped the screen, and the guy was wide open in the end zone, and Khalil Ladler came out of nowhere, wasn't his responsibility, wasn't his man. man, and we were in man coverage. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his man, and he came out of the middle of the field, came flying over there, laid horizontal. Mm-hmm. I had a great view of it because it was on our sideline, looking right down mm-hmm. the sideline, and he went horizontal, dove, made a great catch for it. I couldn't really tell if he was in the end zone or out of the mm-hmm. end zone. I was kind of hoping he was in the end zone so we would have got it on the 20, but it worked out because the offense went 99, uh-huh. where they only would have went 80 had he been on the 20-yard line. But it was a great individual play and a great effort because, as I said, really what he did was not only went after the football, but he really erased somebody else's mistake because there mm-hmm. should have been another man there to cover him. But great individual play by Khalil Adler and great catch. And, you know, it was unfortunate what happened to him later in the game, but I thought he did some great things in the half that he played.
Yeah, it was just like he got shot out of a can. You had a split second to say, oh, my goodness, he may actually intercept this ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did. So right after that, y'all go on the 99-yard drive, and there was a false start on 2nd and 10. So that made it 2nd and 15. You go, shucks.
Yeah.
But he stepped up. Aaron stepped up in the pocket, just threw a rope to Smoke Harris to get it down there a little closer.
Don't you think that was a huge
– because they just had a 2nd and 15. Oh, here's a penalty, but it didn't matter.
Well, the thing, we had 6 pre-snap penalties. We had 2 on defense for lining up offsides, mm-hmm. which is a major league no-no. Mm-hmm. You got to eliminate those. And then we had 3 pre-snap penalties of movement or procedure on offense. And then we had 1 alignment penalty when we were coming out and threw the ball to Griffin Hebert mm-hmm. coming out of the end zone, had an alignment. Just 6 pre-snap penalties is unacceptable. I mean, we've got to do a better job as coaches and players of really making sure that we emphasize that, because those are things that shoot yourself in the foot. And we ended up with a couple third down, and I thought not only the play on 2nd and 15, but I thought the third down play when he hit Griffin Hebert when we were backed up on the very first drive. Yep. We ran the ball the first 2 plays and then threw it on third down, and we were backed up, and Aaron hit Griffin Hebert over the middle for a key first down there, and then had a couple other really key throws on that drive. I thought Aaron was 21 of 27 on the night, was very accurate with the ball, didn't have had very, very little pressure. The offensive line mm-hmm. kept him clean. They kept him upright. He wasn't rushed. He had time. He was poised. He stood in there, and he threw the ball very accurate. So, really, it was a really nice night for Aaron.
Yeah, 17-yarder, 19-yarder that roped to Smoke Harris. And then Williams scores the first of his 4 touchdowns on the night behind the T-bone formation. Smoke Harris.
Yes.
Kane McGuire, the statistician magician, said today he's led the Bulldogs interceptions every game this season. If he manages to do so in the last 2 games, he'd become the first player since Troy Edwards to have the most reception in every game. And Troy Edwards, of course, is the Biletnikoff Award winner back in 98. But he's having a well of a time. It's just hard to find him, isn't it? For defenders to find him.
Well, and when he gets the ball, and I think we've targeted him an awful lot because, as everybody can see, when you get the ball in his hands, he's electric. He can make things happen. And I think on the one play, he made 6 people miss.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I don't know that we made 6 people miss the rest of the night. And he made 6 people miss on that one play. He's electric. We always say when Smoke gets the ball, everybody stand up. Somebody's fixing to score. You know, I mean, he's an electric player. I love the passion. The intensity. He was voted a captain for this football team, and he's really done a nice job. I did not realize that statistic that he was the leading receiver in every game so far this year, but he certainly earned it, and he's doing a great job. He's smart. He's intelligent. He catches the ball really well, and he's really electric when he gets the ball under his arm.
He's a good one to get the ball to.
Yes,
and again, he had 98 yards, and 58 of those were after the catch to illustrate what you said. Okay, Bobby and Delhi, you mentioned Fournier over at left tackle. Explain how difficult that is, switching from one side to the other, because everything is not the same.
No, it's not just go to the right, go to the left. Hey, try over there. And really, we had Byron Russell and Dakota White over there who were really comfortable on the left side mm-hmm. and struggle playing over on the right side a little bit. So when we started, we put Chris over on the right. But as this year has evolved with some of the injuries, Chris had to go over and play left. And we were mm-hmm. talking. It was like, I think he might be better on the left side than the right. So we moved Dakota back over, and that was really from an injury a couple weeks ago. But I think Chris is playing really well for us right now. I think this move to left tackle has been really positive for him. And, of course, the Motes, the Delphins, and Kelton Hollins are playing really well inside. But on the left side, you're putting your left foot back rather than your right foot back. You're kicking. Your left hand is your guide hand, your outside hand. And so it is. It's just completely different being on the left side than the right. But I think Chris has really made a great adjustment to it. And Dakota White is a guy, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that is really starting to come into his own. He's a guy that's blossoming like a flower. He's just a sophomore, I believe he is, or is he a redshirt freshman?
I think
freshman
Goose
right
challenged
now?
Him a couple of weeks ago a little bit.
No, I think he's been challenged for sure. I would agree with that. And when he went out, when he Dakota White is a redshirt freshman right now. And I think when Byron Roussel went out and Dakota had to step up, he's really a sophomore, COVID sophomore, but he's a freshman right now. And he's got 3 years left after this year, and I think Dakota White's going to be special. And the experience that he's getting, because really when you look at it, three of those five guys are back, and if you put Byron Roussel in that list, we've got four of our five starting offensive linemen back.
Sweet.
With Joshua Mode, Abe Delphin, Dakota White, and Byron Roussel. So I think every snap those guys get right now is an investment in the future, and there's a couple young guys behind them. I really like the way Bert Hale is coming along as just a redshirt freshman. Ray Kelly from Ruston is the backup center and doing a nice job playing some tight end for us down on the goal line. Jaron Gilbert is a young man out of Houston who's doing some really good things for us, and excited when I can see a full year with Karsten Bruno, Kenneth Bannister, Jonah Brewster, and Aaron Bean. I'm excited about the future of the offensive line with the way those young guys are playing right now and coming along, and I can't thank Googe enough for being here and the way that he's molding those guys and maturing them, and you could really see them getting better as the year's going on.
Well, they did a well of a job the other night. Most of the starters played just about every snap.
Agreed.
I know Gilbert came in a lot, and y'all run some two tight ends, so to speak, with Jacob and Gilbert. A minute 33 left in the first half. Charlotte second 10 from the 11, and you call timeout. Why did you do that?
To get the ball back. I wanted enough
time. That's from Corn Dog in Athens,
okay,
by the way. I'm
well,
sorry.
Corn Dog, I appreciate the question, but they threw the ball on first down. It was incomplete. On second down, they ran the ball, and I called timeout so they couldn't burn it all the way down. I thought if we can get a stop on third down, then we're going to get the ball back and have an opportunity to organize our own two-minute drive. And as a matter of fact, defensively, I got on the phone with David. I said, you okay with a timeout here? He said, yeah, we can get him into third down. I feel really good about it. Got him into third down, got the ball back. Then we're able to put our own two-minute drive together and go down, because on third down they threw the ball and I didn't need to call one after third down.
Thank goodness.
It gave our offense a timeout left, which we were able to use at the very end before we threw the ball into Jaron Means, who was out of bounds by about 3 inches over there in the corner of the end zone, or we would have scored there. And so we lined up to kick the extra point. Unfortunately, our automatic, you know, Jacob Barnes wasn't so automatic because he's been money from distances from like that 37 yards, and unfortunately he just missed the kick, but had an opportunity to put more points on the board.
Still led it at the half, and let me remind everybody real quick that we are at the doghouse. When the dogs are on the road, this is where to come for an away game watch party. You can maybe do that 2 weeks from now when the dogs go to Houston, but Friday night they're going to play Southern Miss in the Joe, so maybe you can come here before, go to the game, then come here after at the doghouse on Homer Street. Before we go to a break, Coach, and we'll talk about Southern Miss, by the way, in the last break, and in the third block, couldn't remember my radio, we'll talk about these seniors, because it's going to be senior day Friday night at the Joe. Goal line stand in the first quarter to keep it at 7-0. What was your what was the sidelines like after that? Because they kept them. I think it was first and goal from the one, third goal from the one. I mean,
it started first and goal from the three is where it started, and they ran the ball and they got down to the 1 yard line, and then we were able to stop them on second, third, and fourth down. Huge goal line stand. You know, you look at it anytime. That is a momentum play. That's an emotional play that changes momentum. Offense got it. We were able to get out of there a little bit. Unfortunately, we threw an interception to give it back to him, but I thought that was a huge step for the defense. I thought it was a huge step up. We have been, honestly, we have been really bad in the red zone when you look at defensively. The points we've given up, the touchdowns we've given up, where we were We were 50% in the red zone this year, this week, defensively. They were down there six times and only scored three touchdowns. But that one was huge because one of them was a turnover and one of them was the fourth down stop.
Right.
So, really, they got down there six times and twice walked away with no points, which you look at it, the 14 points of difference in a football game, and that's what it really boils down to is a couple stops that we were able to get defensively early because we didn't have too many stops after that.
Made a big difference. That gave you your 152nd win. Coach Skipple's now ninth in total wins among active FBS coaches.
Wow.
What?
I didn't even know that.
Yes, that means you're getting older. Okay, let's take a break.
Single digits. It means I'm getting old. That's what that means.
We'll be right back to Doghouse Sports Grill with more Inside Bulldog Football with Coach Skip Holt. See you in just a second.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. I'm sure you know that clean, affordable propane gas is used in houses across our state. It's used in cooking, water heaters, drying clothes, and heating homes. But did you know that if you ever run out of propane, you need a certified dealer to inspect your system for leaks before it's refilled? That's the law. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Hey, we're back to Doghouse Sports Grill with Inside Bulldog Football and Coach Skip Holtz. This is Teddy Allen pinch hitting for Malcolm Butler, who's over at the TAC where the Bulldogs are going to play at 6:30. Let me tell you this about basketball. Louisiana Tech freshman Amaya Branham was named Conference USA Freshman of the Week Monday following her performances in the Lady Texters' first two games of the season. So congratulations to her. Ladies basketball is going to be at Ole Miss Friday night. And bowling is going to be at the ISTAP Hornet Classic Friday in Montgomery, Alabama. And the Bulldogs are going to be playing football Friday night in the Joe at 7 against arch rival Southern Miss.
Yes.
Also, the Duncan Dogs are going to be at Northwestern State Thursday night at 7:30. And you know who's going to call that game?
You are.
Freeway Dave Nitz.
Freeway Dave Nitz.
Got to pull him out of basketball retirement because Malcolm's going to be
with the bowling team.
He's gonna be with you.
Okay.
He's gonna be with you at the Joe. They're gonna play Friday night.
Okay.
So he,
okay.
The all
Malcolm, every time I mean, he's here. He's with basketball. He's with football. He's with. I mean, Malcolm.
He's like the
does
wind.
It, he like does it all. So I figure I haven't heard him calling bowling yet. So I thought maybe he'd be calling the bowling event.
He gave me the old "I can't be two places at one time" bit. Hey, Quint wants to know. It's been a tough season, but what's been the best moment for you as a coach so far this year?
Oh, Quint, you know what? That's a great question and probably one that I would need some time to think about. But, you know, the thing that's so fresh in my mind, Quint, is this the win last week. And I mean that because we went through four losses. And, you know, you sit in these young men's living rooms, and like we talk about Dakota White as a freshman, and to see him who's from Katy, Texas, who comes up here to watch his growth, his development, mm-hmm. to see how far he's come, to see Kelton Hollins, who transferred here, to see so many of these these guys and what they've been through and what they've overcome to get to where they are, and to see the smiles in the locker room after the game, and to watch these young men sing the fight song after a win, the joy, the jubilation, the smiles on their face, it makes it all worth it. And I just, it's been hard. As I know, there's a lot of, college football is a lot of armchair quarterbacks, and everybody's got an opinion on everything and wants to be very critical sometimes of performances and the way young men play. But some of these guys are 18 to 22-year-old mm-hmm. young men that are just trying to get on the field. You know, their girlfriend broke up with them this week. They flunked the test. We got mental health issues that are more prevalent now than they've ever been. They just want to be successful. They're learning how to be men. They're learning how to handle adversity and setbacks and positives and negatives and hard work and all that. And for me, what's so vivid in my mind right now, Quint, are the smiles in that locker room for guys like Trey Harris. I mean, the way that he's played as a senior, to see Willie Baker, to see Baylen Buchanan and Marcus Williams finally trying to have the opportunity to break out, and to see the smile on those guys' face and the sense of accomplishment. That's why I coach. That's what I love about it. I love the success stories. I love watching these men grow and develop over a 4-year period, and then watching how they mature and grow up, and then what they become when they walk out the door. So I've just got a really good feeling in my heart right now for watching those guys have the opportunity to sing that fight song. I don't mean to get sentimental on you,
but they played loose,
but it meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, after it was over, I'm just so happy for everybody, because I've seen everything, and you can go your whole career and not play and not lose four last possession or last play of the game.
There's a lot of people that play for 4 years and don't lose four games on the last play of the game. And so, yes, it's been hard. But you know what? It's a testament to these players and to their character, and so many people who have given up on them, who don't feel like they're a very good football team. And I still believe in these guys. I still believe there's a lot of football left to play. We talked about what we would name a book right now, and we said we're not done writing the book. So we're going to keep writing, and we got two more chapters to write, and hopefully we can finish this thing in a 3-game season with 3 wins in a row and send these seniors out the right way.
Yeah, don't put a period where the good Lord's got a comma. All right, Chicken Dinner Dog in Shreveport. Was the plan only to run, but to run mostly between the tackles, which it appeared y'all just went straight at them most of the time?
Well, we had a lot more success running at them. What mm-hmm. they did was really they saw that we were trying to run the ball in the game plan we had early, and they brought those safeties downhill. And really, I did not want to get into a drop back passing game with Aaron back there behind the center. We wanted to stick to our guns and continue to run it. We tried to run the ball outside a couple times, but the safeties being downhill, when we ran 8 yards sideways and the safeties ran 8 yards downhill, they're on the line of scrimmage making tackles. When we run at them, they had to make the tackles and get caught up into the mess up inside. Mm-hmm. And if we could have just found a way to split one here or there. And so we were getting such great push up inside with the offensive line that we felt like we had a better opportunity of running the ball downhill. We started putting our quarterbacks more in a pistol situation instead of an offset to give them the opportunity to run downhill. And I thought Marcus Williams, Keon Henry Brooks, and even Greg Garner, ran for some hard yards, did a really nice job of running downhill for those tough yards inside the tackles.
Yep, Aaron even had to run one time, 6 yards. And the only bad ball he threw all night, really, I think, was the underthrown ball on the interception. Coach, Grumpy Dog says,
talk to me, Grumpy.
Are the problems with the corners and safeties a scheme issue, a student-athlete issue? Would you say that group's regressed? I know they had a lot on their plate the other night because they lost a player in the middle of the game with the targeting, and then you had a couple of guys out.
Well, and the problem is we went into the game with two safeties already out. Well, we consider two starting safeties, and Miles Mason and B.J. Williamson mm-hmm. were both out and did not play in this game. So you went into it with Khalil Adler and Jaden Cole, and those have been the four safeties that have taken probably 99.9% of the reps so far this season. So when Khalil Adler got identified in the third quarter with a targeting foul and he was taken out of the game, it really threw Marquellus Turner and Christian Archangel. Christian Archangel a week ago just came off a 9-month ACL recovery, so I would say he's a little bit rusty, and Marquellus Turner got thrown in there, and unfortunately as soon as just like we would do, if somebody puts in a new defensive back that hasn't played much, you're going to go after him. You're going to test him. You're going to see where he is. And there were some things that, I mean, in the answer to your question, I think it was a combination of both. I think we certainly could have done more to protect Marquellus, who went out into that situation. Mm-hmm. We got him in some quarters coverage. We could have rolled him down, put Jaden Cole high. We've talked a little bit about how we could have protected him a little bit more and not asked him to step in and carry a deep quarter load, yeah, where he just would have had a flat responsibility. But I also think that, you know, Marquellus has practiced all year. I mean, Marquellus, he had hurt his shoulder earlier in the game, but he was certainly thrown to the fire. And that's what we talked a minute ago, that everybody wants their opportunity. You need to make sure you're ready for it, just like Aaron Allen went in, waited patiently for his opportunity, and made the most from it. And I think Marquellus Turner probably learned an awful lot. He like, oh, wow. You know what? That was a little faster than I thought it was going to be. It happened a little quicker than I thought it would be. And you know what? If you're going to make a mistake backing up, not coming forward, which he made three of those where he started to come up to jump a route. You don't jump it until you see the ball in the air. You got to be sure. And I think they were great lessons for him. I think he's going to grow from this experience, and he will be better because of it. So I really think, Grumpy Dog, that it was a little combination of both. I think he grew up a little bit and gained a little bit of experience, and we'll be much better next time. But I also think that we could have done more to help him being thrown into that situation against a really good quarterback.
A couple more comments about Aaron and his offensive line as receivers. 28-17, Tech has a 3rd and 7 at the 45. The bad guys blitz, and he was able to step up and hit Trey Harris for a 21-yarder. Then it's 3rd and 4 from the 16. This is another big play, and he hit Smoke for a touchdown to make it 35-17, and you needed all of those points. And again, it was really, really clean all day.
Yep.
Because the bad guys got to where they scored quick a couple of times there late, and the Bulldogs had to answer.
And I thought the throw of the game that he made was the post to Isaiah Graham down the middle of the field.
Wasn't that one of the
best throws he made all day, because it was a play action. He got outside the pocket. He actually had a little bit of pressure on that one with the long developing throw. And boy, he threw a great ball, dead on the money. Really did a nice job. But I thought he played well. He made some huge plays for us, made some big plays for us. But most importantly, he managed the game. You know what I mean? He managed the game and really did a nice job. And outside of the one turnover where he had a poor read on the deep ball that he threw, the corner went back. The read should have brought him down underneath. You had Griffin Hebert kind of got behind the corner. If he was going to make that throw, he needs to lay it out to where Griffin has a chance to go get it. Right. But he missed one earlier in the game when I thought, see, it's Smoke right down the middle of the field on our opening drive, and he just threw the ball out of bounds to Griffin Hebert over on the right sideline going down towards the building. But he missed a couple deep balls, but as I said, I'd be nitpicking, you know what I mean, right now, because I thought he played really well and did a really nice job.
Yeah, you take those numbers.
Yes.
Any day. Hey, I'm reminding you that we're here at the Doghouse, and we thank Bert and the whole gang for taking care of us for so long. You can get a burger. You can get quesadillas. You can get a salad. They got it all, and they'll serve you in a friendly manner. So come on down to the Doghouse, which is all lit up now outside with red, white, and blue.
Beautiful,
beautiful
Christmas lights in red, white, and blue.
Love what they've
done. You can see it driving down the road from a long way away now.
It is a beacon saying, come here, let us feed and give you liquids. So you got to love the Doghouse. Tyler Grubbs.
Yes.
How much have the guys picked on him for missing two interceptions? When I was talking to some guys walking to the parking lot, they said, we're going to just wear him out all week long.
They did. They have. Okay. I mean, they have for sure. I grabbed him the other day and counted to make sure he had 10 fingers.
That's
because I thought there's no way you can have 10 fingers and have that bad of hands. There's no way. You know, and I told him I was excited that he got in the way and batted him down because they certainly weren't completed. I mean, but he did. He had an opportunity for two interceptions. I mean, the first one would have been a nice pick, but the second one, I mean, really, was I think he was looking for the end zone because he had a great opportunity to go score with that had he intercepted that pass. But yeah, I actually thought he hurt himself the way that he came down on his knee. Right. But, you know, Tyler's playing really well, and I know he'll continue to work on those type of things because he's going to have more of those opportunities in the future.
Well, I know he's using his hands to tackle a lot of people, and that's what he's out there for. So that's That's great. Let's take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk some more about these seniors. You're listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Coach Skip Holtz on the LifeTech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
This football season, visit Rustin Apothecary for all your prescription needs. Locally owned and operated by Rustin native Heather Jewel Furr, Rustin Apothecary puts their customers first. A friendly staff and a convenient drive-thru keeps picking up your prescription painless. Visit Rustin Apothecary, located at 1680 East Kentucky Avenue in Rustin, or call 318-255-3223. Proud partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustinRecycles.org today.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Hey, we're back at the Doghouse Sports. Hizzy.
Here we go.
We got Inside Bulldog Football and Coach Skip Holtz. Bulldogs beat Charlotte 42-32 Saturday. That was Coach Holtz's 152nd win. That's ninth in total wins among active FBS coaches. The guy's doing something right. Way to go, Coach Holtz. And the Bulldogs are going to play Southern Miss Friday night at 7 in the Joe. Hey, you moved special teams coach Dennis Smith from the booth to the sideline. Larry, not the cable guy, says, did that move have the kind of effect you wanted?
Yeah, I thought our special teams played pretty well. I mean, you look at it, we've given up one of the – they are like the number two kickoff return team in the country, yeah. And we talked about their return man's top 20 in the country. And, you know, we tried to pooch it early, and they started on the 40-yard line, and they had a great plan. So we said, you know what? We're not letting them start on the 40. Let's kick it deep and challenge our players. And bringing Dennis down there, Dennis is a ball of energy. He is, if anybody that's ever been around him, he is certainly. And you could see a difference on the sideline with the juice and the energy before the kickoff team went out there, before the kickoff return team went out there. Some of it was Dennis dancing and doing things to try and motivate the troops, but whatever it takes. And I thought he did a really nice job. I mean, with where we are this late in the season, schematically, these aren't big scheme games. We do what we do. We're really trying to make sure that we're solid in what we do. But Dennis wanted to come down, and it did have a positive effect. And I thought he did a really nice job with special teams. I thought the punt team played well. The kickoff team played well. Obviously, the kickoff return team, I thought, played great with the opening kick when they tried to pooch the ball. And I thought Griffin Hebert did a nice job of fielding the ball at about midfield. And then they tried an onside squib, you know what I mean, just an onside kick on the squib. And we were able to get that and start with positive field position. And again, those two positive field positions set up two more scores. So you look at it and say it was 14 points. So I thought the special teams did a – I thought they did a really nice job.
Yeah, when your offense rolled the way it did, you only had to punt twice, and one of those at the end of the game. I'm asking this just more or less for my own amusement, but the play that was reviewed twice, it was a caught ball, and then it was really in real life it was not a caught ball by one of the 49ers receivers.
Yeah.
They reviewed it. And then they reviewed it again. I've never seen that happen.
No, I haven't either. They reviewed their review and overturned it.
Right.
So, I mean, really is what happened on that play. I mean, because they reviewed it. I lost my mind because the view that I had, the great play by the Charlotte player. I mean, I thought Baylen Buchanan's in great shape. He's on the inside. Ball got thrown inside, and their guy did a great job of jumping around Baylen, trying to make a diving catch. The two at the ball, they're fighting for it. I thought we had it at first, then they took it away from us. While they were fighting for it, the ball was laying on the ground in between the two of them. So when I looked over, I could see the ball on the ground. So when the guy said completed catch, I lost my mind. I mean, it was like the ball's laying on the ground. It can't be complete if it's laying on the ground. So they reviewed it and said, he told me, said, Coach, we just don't have a camera angle where we can see it. And so then just before we played, they buzzed him again. And thankfully, out of the archive somewhere, there was, I guess, a home video camera that took an angle that they got an opportunity to look at. But they went down and buzzed it again. The bottom line is this, they got it right. They got it right, and that was the bottom line, and that's what I was excited for, that they were able to get it right. There was a couple others that I didn't necessarily I didn't necessarily agree with, but you know what? It is a game of human error for sure.
Well, I did find this out today. We had a Louisiana Tech guy in there working for the network in the replay booth, and so they have six views, but they only see four at a time. They don't see the other two unless the producer says show them this.
Okay.
So they said, okay, no catch. Well, then my guy tapped him on the shoulder and said, well, y'all hadn't looked at this one yet, and that's the one where you could obviously see the ball coming out.
Yeah.
And so once they saw that.
Then it was. They got it right. Yeah. I think that's the only thing. And, you know, this is.
It was a mess for a minute.
I don't care how long it takes, as long as they get it right. I think that's the ultimate, what we're trying to get done.
After the game, Coach Holt said, I thought I was going to lose my ever-loving mind. Okay, speaking of things that'll make you pull your hair out, Donna Dogg and Bossier, seems targeting is interpreted differently by the officials. What's your thought on Lattler's being called?
When I first
looked at it, I thought it was all shoulder pad.
You know, I still think it was all shoulder. You know, I still think it was all shoulder. It certainly didn't look like he made contact with his head on the film. I think Khalil made a great play. I would teach Khalil to tackle it again exactly the same way.
Right.
He did not lead with the crown of his helmet. He did not go helmet to helmet. He did hit him hard. And I know people take offense to that in this game sometimes, and he did hit him hard, but it looked like the helmet was on the shoulder, on the left shoulder. I think really where the player got hurt was when he went to the ground. When he went to the ground, I think he hit his head on the ground, but you know, they threw the call and they made the call, and it is hard because I can remember when we had Jordan Bradford got a targeting call for hitting a quarterback in the chest because he used the crown of his helmet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you put it on. If you slow down every play that happens, it's just very subjective right now.
Yeah.
I'm all for targeting. I'm all for taking the crown of the helmet out. I'm all for taking the contact away from the head out. I think we're doing a better job of protecting our quarterbacks that way, protecting our receivers that way, and I think it is a much safer game today because of the rules that have been put in place. But I am with you, Donna Dogg. I wish there was much more consistency from crew to crew in the way the call was evaluated and the way the call is interpreted.
It's agonizing. And he hit him with his shoulder, and then Khalil saw that the guy's head hit hard, and that's why he immediately jumped up and said somebody come help, because he heard and saw that.
Exactly. But there was no – he did not have any contact to his head area.
So he'll be able to play in the second half Friday night. All right, let's take about 5 minutes and talk about these seniors. It's going to be senior night Friday, and you've got 18 or 19 on your team.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, you know what? I really love this group, and I know that may be maybe not a great statement from a team that is where they are with seven losses right now. But I do. I love these guys. I mean, I look at them, and I look on defense, and I look at guys like Zach Hannibal. I look at Trey Baldwin. I look at Ezekiel Barnett, Willie Baker, Eric Kinzer on defense, guys that have been here for the duration, the amount of football that they've played, the amount of wins that we've had with these guys. I can't thank them enough for their contribution and their commitment. Every one of them, every one of these seniors has already graduated, and then I'm very appreciative for the guys that transferred in here. When you talk about a DJ Brown that transferred in from Penn State and Elijah Hamilton from Arkansas, Baylen Buchanan from Tennessee, Khalil Adler from Virginia Tech that we just talked about, we've had those guys have meant an awful lot to this program. They've won an awful lot of football games, and I am certainly very appreciative of their contribution and what they've done here. They've done everything right off the field. They've done everything right in the classroom as far as graduation. They've represented this program the right way. They're a classy group, and they've won a lot of football games since they've been here. And I think it's an opportunity for us to say thank you to them. And the same thing on offense. When I look at the guys that have been here, a guy like Jacob Adams, that guy, I mean, he may be one of my all-time favorites. I mean, never says boo, just shows up, bangs that rock every day, probably gets through. I think he's about 4 inches shorter than the day he got right here with all the banging that he's made as a fullback. But the guy never, ever complains, never misses a rep. He's tough. He's hardworking. He's got the respect of this team. I look at guys like Isaiah Graham and the role that he's played and what he's done here. And then again, you talk about some of the contributions the transfers have made, guys that believed enough in this program to come here and believe what this program stands for, with guys like Austin Kendall and guys like Mark Williams and Chris Fournier and Kelton Hollins and Sam Williams. I just can't say thank you enough to these guys. I think this will always be one of my favorite groups that I've had the opportunity. I know for a lot of people, their favorite groups are the ones that win. But when I look at the way that these guys have led, like I said, every one of them has their degree in their hand right now. Every one of them has already graduated. And there's an awful lot of reasons, if they only came here to win, there's an awful lot of reasons right now to say, well, why do you play? You know, why do you keep going? What are you playing? There is no bowl game. There is no conference championship. And yet these guys went out and put maybe one of their best performances together of the year. And the way they went out and found a way to win a game against, man, this is a Charlotte team. They're 5-4. They beat Duke the opening game of the year. Their quarterback is one of the better quarterbacks in the conference when you look at them. And I was really proud of the way they were able to put something together and find a way to win.
It's fun to watch, and these seniors have won some bowl games, and they've played through the weirdest time ever in college sports, which is mostly last year.
I went through my meeting notes. When I pull out my staff meeting notes from the week from last year when we were getting ready to play Southern Miss, which was after the hurricane had come down here and we had to shut the program down for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden the players came back on Wednesday and we went, and I'm reading my notes, and it was like, I am so glad we are not living in that era anymore. I mean, that might have been the hardest year that I've ever been through in coaching. And I just, what we dealt with, I'm reading all the guys that are out with COVID positive. I'm reading now all the guys that are out with contact tracing. I'm reading, you know, guys, when these guys are coming back, et cetera. And I certainly don't miss those days. And I'm really, really proud of these players, as we have a really good number of them that are vaccinated, but we still have about 20-30 guys that are tested every week, and have only had, I believe, one positive the entire season so far that's had to miss, and that was Austin Kendall earlier in the season when he had some friends come over from Dallas for a home game, and that was the only one. But these guys have really done a very responsible job of wearing their masks and being smart and trying to do the right thing so we're all able to play this game and play it together, and really proud of the contribution that they've all made.
Yeah, well, they've been down a unique road together for sure. So they deserve your presence. If you can make it Friday night at 7, they will play Southern Miss, and we'll come back and talk about the Golden Eagles in just a second when we're back with more Inside Bulldog Football with Coach Skip Holt. You're listening to the LaTeX Sports Network from Learfield.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game, and teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Director's Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Hey, we're back to Doghouse Sports Grill with Inside Bulldog Football and Coach Skip Hulse. Come on down to the Sports Grill here at the Dog Hizzy on Homer, North Homer Street, and watch the Rams and 49ers if you wish. Also remind you that Bulldog basketball is going on over on 107.5. They're playing at the TAC tonight. Coach Hulse, y'all play Friday, so that's obviously altered your practice schedule.
It
so
has.
Catch us up on what's happening with that.
Yeah, with the schedule, and there's a lot of things going on. This is the last week of school, the last day of classes on Thursday, so players all have final exams this week, papers, a lot of projects due, things like that. So there's a lot of disruptions when you just talk about everything trying to close up the academic quarter. But then also playing on Friday night is going to be different. So we came out of the game. We brought them back over Saturday. We had our meetings. We lifted. We did those things with them. And we're practicing tonight. We're actually going to get on the field from about 7 to 8:30 tonight and go out and get a good practice in pads tonight against each other. And then we will practice on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday will be our shorts walkthrough. Thursday will be our Fast Friday. And then we're going to play the game on Friday night. So, you know, I am a huge fan that Friday night is for high school football.
Yeah.
I believe that. I am a huge high school football fan. I love the opportunity during the season when we get a chance to go out recruiting during our open date. I got a chance to go out, go over to Shreveport and watch a couple high school games. And I love it, just going over there and having the opportunity to buy a Coke and some popcorn, sit there and watch a game. It's entertaining and brings back great memories, just the smell of the grass and everything that goes along with high school football. And so I hate that we're playing on Friday night. They didn't ask me when television scheduled this game. College football has become a huge business, and one of the things that everybody's looking for is exposure and having the opportunity to play on different nights. I look at, you know, the MACtion, which is playing on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights when you get into the month of October and November. And so we've been asked to play on Friday night. I said I'd rather play the game on Saturday. I thought Saturday at 2:30 last week was an ideal time, beautiful day, great weather. I cannot thank the people enough that came out, the student body, the fans, to support this team. I love the way you guys booed the officials. I thought it was great. I'm not allowed to legally
Bring
do
it.
That, so I thought it was great. It was perfect. It was 70 degrees or 60 degrees. Wasn't a cloud in the sky. I just thought it was an absolutely beautiful day. Now we're going to play on Saturday, on Friday night, which it is what it is. And I would encourage everybody, with this being senior night, we're trying to get on a roll here and win these final three games. We need everybody's encouragement right now. I know this season has not been what we all wanted it to be. I know we haven't been able to accomplish some of the dreams that we walked into the season and certainly had in front of us. But I still think we all owe these seniors a huge thank you for turning down some of the other schools they did to come here to say that they wanted to represent this great university and this institution and have the opportunity to be in Ruston and be around this program. So I would encourage everybody to come out on Friday night for sure if you can.
7 o'clock, we'll have the game for on the radio at 5:30, beginning at 5:30 with the pregame show. And the game will kick at 7. It's one of those CBS Sports Network things that, of course, we had nothing to do with. I wish we were playing Saturday. Good luck to the Bearcats, also the Ruston Bearcats, who are in the middle of a whale of a season. Okay, a couple of words about Will Hall and the Southern Miss football team. They've had a hard row of it this year, just won one game, but really gave UTSA all they wanted last week.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, right now when you look at them, they're 1-9 with two games remaining, and their lone win was against Grambling, the second game of the year. They've had some close losses. I think as a first-year coach coming in, trying to put in your system, defensively they're playing really well. They're second in our conference in passing yards given up. They're really doing a nice job with that. It starts, they've gotten their defensive end, number two, Kitchens, a really good player. Sykes, their nose guard, number three. Southern Miss always has really good defense alignment. And I think those two and three, are definitely difference makers. If you have a chance to get out and watch a game, number nine is their weak safety, and I think is a real difference maker in the back end. He does really a nice job. I think he's their leader back there, their vocal captain back there, and really I think defensively they're playing really solid football right now. They're very fundamentally sound. They're very in tune. They're really doing a nice job. But where they're struggling right now is on the offensive side of the ball, and it's certainly not from a lack of talent. Jason Brownlee, their number one wide receiver, has got like 600 yards receiving so far. Number zero, DeMarcus Jones, is a really, really good player. Frank Gore, their freshman quarterback, has already rushed for 731 yards on the season. He's a freshman out of Miami and has done a really nice job. Their right tackle, Washington, is a 6'5", 340-pound senior that will probably play in the NFL, a very, very talented player. But where they're struggling right now is the quarterback. They have three freshmen on their roster right now, and Lang Webb and Smith Hart are their three freshman quarterbacks. And last week what they did, they came out, and I'm glad they did it last week because they had been running a very traditional offense. But last week they came out and they ran all Wildcat. They put Frank Gore, their leading running back, at quarterback, and he ran the ball almost every single down. Then they put the Smith Hart, the freshman, in there, and he played quarterback and carried the ball a couple more times. They only threw the ball seven times, which is kind of what you would see out of a military academy. Nice. But they're running kind of a single-wing offense right now and just giving it to their tailback and letting him find space in front of them and run it. And they were up 17-10 on UTSA last week. It is not a lack of talent, is not why they're where they are. They have just struggled a little bit with their identity on offense and struggling at the quarterback position a little bit. But being a new coach coming in, they're still playing really hard, as evidenced last week by being up on UTSA 17-10. Their kick return leads the conference. It's 13 in the nation. Last week was number two in kick returns. This week they lead the conference and are 13th in the country right now in their kick returns. So they've got a really solid defense, a really talented offense, and it's going to be a little bit different to turn and watch their running game. But we're going to need everybody's help to come out and help support us and put a little fire under this football team so we can go find a way to get a win against a pesky Southern Miss football team who's very talented.
And speaking of everybody, Coach Hall said today he may play everybody. He may play seven or eight different guys at quarterback. He'll just keep running them in there. The main thing to remember, too, a big rival of Louisiana Tech. You can see it Friday night at 7. We're going to come back and wrap this up in just a second from the doghouse. We'll be right back to finish Inside Bulldog Football with Coach Skip Holtz on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the taste makers.
ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
This football season, visit Ruston Apothecary for all your prescription needs. Locally owned and operated by Ruston native Heather Jewel Furr, Ruston Apothecary puts their customers first. A friendly staff and a convenient drive-thru keeps picking up your prescription painless. Visit Ruston Apothecary, located at 1680 East Kentucky Avenue in Ruston, or call 318-255-3223. Proud partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. We're all used to bad weather in Louisiana, and we know the benefits of clean, portable propane gas during those emergencies. But if your propane tank is ever damaged in a storm, you should have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And if you ever smell gas, turn the system off at the tank and call your dealer immediately. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Hey, we're back to wrap up Inside Bulldog Football with Coach Skip Hulse from the Doghouse. This is Teddy Allen. Malcolm Butler will be back next week for the final show. That's next Monday at 6. I want to thank Elton, Ashley, Regan, Coach Hulse. Thank you. Thank the Doghouse. Most of all, thank you who are here and you Bulldog fans who are listening. Coach Hulse, take it away.
Oh, well, certainly. Well, so many people to thank. I mean, for sure. I need to thank the fans and the students and everybody that came out last week. As I said, what a great day for football, beautiful day, and for the people that came out and supported the team. We'd love to see you this week, Friday at 7 o'clock, to support these seniors for sure. They've done so much here, and I just want to make sure that we have an opportunity to say goodbye the right way. Thank you to everybody who's been here in the show. This is the 11th one. I cannot say thank you to see so many smiling faces each and every week that are here and how much I appreciate y'all's support through the course of the year. It is truly, your loyalty has been something that has really touched me, and I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. So many people to thank for questions tonight. Let's go. Thank you to Donna Dog, Larry, not the cable guy, Grumpy Dog, Quint, the Chicken Dinner Dog, the Corn Dog from Athens, the Bobby from Delhi, Kane, and Jill from Ruston. I want to thank you so much for your involvement, how much I appreciate the interaction and having the opportunity to answer any of your questions about the program. And thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate you. I don't know if you'll be back next week, but I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed you sitting in for Malcolm.
Thank you. Malcolm will be back next week, and I hope you'll be back next week. Hope y'all will listen next week. Until Friday night at the Joe, go Dogs, and
see ya!
Live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.